all the needs. I appreciate it. The house, and we'll just see God do great and mighty things. And don't forget that date, June 22nd. Again, I think that's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys. Amen. I love watching y'all laugh. I love watching y'all giggle and have a good time. It won't be Tim Hawkins, so don't worry about that, because I think we watched everything Tim Hawkins ever made. So, but it'll be something great. All right, Kingdom Perspectives, the book of Acts. Let me give you a couple statements from last week so we can jump off that and get into tonight's teaching. The mission of the church will never be stopped or forfeited, no matter the oppression, or excuse me, opposition. You can put oppression there, that's fine. Or battle. His will is going to be accomplished. Again, I said that last week, and it sounds so elementary and almost childish to strong and more mature Christians. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people in the last days are just give up on the church. They just think, well, you know, Jesus is coming. This is the end time. Or everything's going to, you know, Hades in a hell in a basket and all that stuff. Why should I do anything? And that's so far from the reality. Nothing in this word will be wasted. The baskets were full, right? The fragments after Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the multitudes. The baskets were full because God always takes care of the leftovers and nothing goes to waste with him. And so we have to keep teaching these principles because, again, I hear from people and you know people, they get to the point, well, why is it worth it? What's the point? And the point is, we're still going to lay hands on the sick. We're still going to pray for the unsaved. We're still going to convert the Muslim. We're still going to bring people to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we will still operate on all the principles in the Word of God. So the mission of the church will never be stopped or forfeited. I don't care what's going on. We're going to continue to preach this gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. So the first church witnessed the hand of God in action because they understood his heart and they knew his mission. They got it. They got it. They were stamped, if you will, with the indelible mark of the Holy Spirit and the mission of God. They understood the purpose of God. They understood the mission of God. And because of that, they saw the hand of God. You know, a lot of times in our life when we seem like God is far away from us and there's not supply in our life and we just don't see things connecting, a lot of those times is because you're not in the mission of God. Let me try that on this side of the audience. You're not on God's mission. You're not on God's timetable. You're not doing what he wants you to do. And therefore, as the spout of the goodness of God pours out, you're off and you miss it. And a lot of times it's because of location, because you need to be in a place called destiny. All right. So there's a whole lot of teaching right there. Maybe one day I'll teach on destiny. But destiny is a position as well as a place. And it's also an attitude. All right. So the first church, they witnessed the hand of God in action because they understood his heart and his mission. They knew his mission. The modern church doesn't see his hand because they don't know his heart or mission. They just don't get it. They don't know why they think they exist for Wednesday potluck or bingo or whatever they do. Sunday, come in with your best, finest clothes, whether you're the kind of church that has a hat on or whether you have the long, pretty, flowing dress or whatever it may be, the type of church. You go in, you socialize with each other, you mingle. The guy stands up and he lethargically gives you a message. You applaud, smile, frown, or cry, and then you leave and you go back into the world, into the cesspool, and never do anything for God. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good analogy of a lot of churches. Well, the modern church doesn't see his hand because they don't know his heart or mission. They don't get it, okay? But you and I get it, and others get it. And when we do, the blessings of God are upon us, and we see his hand. Fearless faith is activated when you know his will and when you understand his ways. Remember that about Moses and Israel in Psalms 103:7? Wasn't that powerful? Moses knew his ways. He saw the intimacy of the planning of God, and all Israel got to see was the explosion. I don't want to just see the explosion. I want to know the intimate part of why God did it and how he did it. I want to be behind the scenes with the Father. How many of y'all would like to be behind the scenes? I don't want to be in the audience of watching a play or whatever. Wouldn't it be cool if you're allowed to go in the back and see everybody and all that? Well, that's what it is. That's what intimacy does, and that's what destiny does, and that's what being known to God and knowing God does. It gives you opportunity to see things that no one else gets to see. All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 19. We just real quick recap. When you're on a mission for heaven, no jail or chains can hold you. Is that right? Nothing can hold you back when you're on a mission from God. We saw that in verse 19, and very powerful truth there. And then we just go on. This is the mission and mandate of the church that was found in verse 20, talking about the full gospel. And the first mission is to go stand and speak. Remember that? I hope you wrote that down because that's some good preaching material right there. Go stand and speak. You say, well, I'm just a housewife. I'm just this or that. Go stand and speak. Doesn't matter where you are. Just go stand and speak. Grab hold of that UPS man or that post office man and just, hey, you ain't leaving here till I preach the gospel to you. Amen? All right. So that's basically last week's. So let me get to tonight's statements, and then we're going to move on to the teaching. Very powerful. If you're really praying over this teaching, it's a really powerful teaching that can really translate us and transform us into the church we're supposed to be, instead of that lethargic church that's out there. Can I get a big amen? I don't like anything lethargic. I don't like anything lukewarm. Amen? All right, here we go. So for tonight, the book of Acts, the truth is a sword that cuts to the bone of reality. Truth is a sword that cuts to the bone of reality. You can't hide from the truth. Okay? So that's my opening statement to you, that the truth is a sword that cuts to the bone of reality. You can't hide from the truth. It's an impossibility to hide from the truth. How many of y'all used to be a good liar? Don't look at me. I was a pretty good liar. I was a pretty good manipulator, and the truth always found me out. How about you? Okay? The first church was founded in and on the truth. They never wavered from it, even if it meant death. These are important statements. Again, they sound a little elementary to a seasoned believer, but they're going to apply to this teaching tonight. The first church was founded in and on the truth. They never wavered from it, even if it meant death. It's a very powerful statement, by the way. Because we always look at the first church, the book of Acts, say, man, they had such great power. They did such great things for God. But you know something? They also had a lot of risks because they believed in the truth. All right? So watch this. The modern church views truth as optional and flexible. The modern church views truth as optional and flexible. It is acceptable only if it's convenient. The modern church views truth as optional and flexible. Well, preacher, you say that I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, I don't really see it in the Bible, so I'm not going to accept that as truth, and I'm going to live the lifestyle I want to. I'm going to hurt my body through drug abuse and so on and so forth, and I see it my way, and you see it your way, and that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, y'all know Christians like that, and you can point them to the truth, but they won't accept it because the modern church views truth as optional and flexible. It is acceptable only if it's convenient. Again, I don't have to accept your truth, what you say is truth, because, it doesn't apply to me. But if they find a loophole and they get a preacher that they like that says, oh, look, man, you can live an alternate lifestyle. You can do anything you want to do. God still loves you, man. Grace is upon you. Oh, you're his favorite. Well, then that becomes a draw, if you will, to those who like that, who believe in that type of lifestyle, whatever it is. It could be anything. It could be extramarital affairs. It could be tax evasion. It could be cheating here and there, whatever. You can always find somebody who is flexible to the truth. But remember, the modern church viewed truth as optional and flexible. It is acceptable only if it's convenient, only if it works out for me. Okay? It's the truth. This is what churches are doing today. And I call them bobblehead Christians. Remember that? We're going to make $1 million off that bobblehead Christian because they just do this in the church and, you know, they act like it's acceptable to them and it's convenient for them. And then they go out and do what they want to do. So there's a whole lot there that what I just said about the modern church, okay? So truth is raw. Truth is raw and uncomfortable at times. Can somebody say, ouch? Truth is raw. It's uncomfortable at times. But necessary if we want heaven involved in our affairs. Hear it again. The truth is raw and uncomfortable. You know, there's a lot of people that can't hang in a church like this because it's a truthful church. We're very truthful. And I think love is so raw. Love is so truthful. Love is so transparent. It's there. Love doesn't hide anything unless it's dealing with helping you get out. The Bible says that love hides what? A multitude of sins. But the only way to hide that multitude of sins is confession, which is truth. It's not hiding as concealment. It's helping get rid of the sin through confession. And there's a difference. And that's why transparency is so important. Okay? The truth, it is raw. It is uncomfortable. And at times, but necessary if we want heaven involved in our affairs. Listen, I've said this probably 1,000 times, if not more, and you've heard it as well. God doesn't bless mess. God doesn't anoint deception. That's why it's called a false spirit. That's why it's called strange fire. That's why it's another gospel. That's why it's not a true anointing. It's a familiar spirit that can be on a guy or a girl, a pastor, or whoever. And you have to be careful about that, okay? But truth is raw and uncomfortable at times, but necessary if we want heaven involved in our affairs. I want heaven involved in my affairs. I want to be so transparent and honest with God. I want him to deal with me. I really do. I want him to speak to my heart, and he does. I don't want anything hidden. I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to do anybody wrong. Come on, somebody, talk to me. Because I want truth where? In my inward parts. Not just my mouth. Anybody can talk a good line. Anybody can say stuff. I want it inside, man. I want God to see, because he already does. But I want him to know that I know that everything inside of me, I'm doing all I can to be transparent and truthful. How's that? All right, so Acts chapter 5, we move into now this teaching and understanding as we just spoke some of these things to you. Here we are, man. Peter and the gang, I want to say cool in the gang, but Peter and the gang, they're just dealing with this uprising, if you will, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees. They're before the people. It's just a wild time, and they're telling them, don't preach in the name of Jesus, right? In verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Notice that Peter and the other apostles, it wasn't just Peter alone. Everybody else resoundedly said, hey, we're going to preach in the name of Jesus. We don't care what you say. I think that's what we all should do. Remember, you don't go to heaven on my sermons. You don't go to heaven on my personality. You don't go to heaven on my relationship with God. You have to have it personal as well. Is that right? And so verse 29 shows us that they are all in accord and they are in agreement. Now watch verse 30. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, who you slew and hung on a tree. Right there was the gospel message being preached again. That's the gospel right there. He hung on a tree. You slew him. He was on a cross. He died on the cross. Amen. The rugged cross, the old rugged cross. Powerful. But watch this. They tell him not to preach. They tell the apostles not to preach and teach in this name. They say, we're not going to obey you. We're going to obey God. And then the first thing out of his mouth, the first cannon shot, was bold, powerful truth. It was raw and it was uncomfortable, but it was highly necessary. I love that. Write down no holds bar truth. I mean, that's SWAT kicking the door truth, man. You got to remember, these guys were under the gun. Now, they didn't have weapons necessarily like we have today, and they weren't under, you know, the red dot or the laser dot of an assault rifle or something like that, or police academy weapon or what have you. But they were under the gun as far as they could have took these guys and did great harm to them, okay? So picture this. They're not in a church and everybody's their friend. These guys are in great danger. Their lives are in danger right now. But truth doesn't worry about that. Do you see that? So he said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you slew and you hung on a tree. There it is. Again, the cross, the resurrection, that is the gospel, and they declared it. They preached and they spoke truth. Very, very powerful. Now, I want you to see this. Here's something I wrote down. Peter linked, watch this, Peter linked the past and the present together, because notice what he says. Go back to verse 30. The God of our fathers. You want to underline that. It's highlighted in my Bible. Underline it. Highlight that. The God of our fathers. Because what Peter was doing was he did exactly what he's done the whole time in the beginning of the book of Acts, where he talked about King David. He brought the reality of the patriarchs. He brought the reality of the fathers of the faith. He brought into the reality of those to whom they basically worshiped and they got their religion from, and said, listen, this is the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. This is the God of King David. This is the God of who you supposedly and adamantly protect and religiously fight over. This God, come on now, this God, watch it again, the God of our fathers raised this Jesus up that you're fighting against. You see how he's taking this truth? This is hard truth. This is powerful truth. But he bridged the gap between the past and the present. Here's what I want you to understand. The truth will always bridge the gap. Truth will always bridge the gap between the past and the present. Truth will always be a bridge. That's the statement I would like for you to write down. Truth will always be a bridge. It will always cross over troubled waters. Truth will always be a plank to walk on. And Peter comes right out of the gate after being threatened again and just starts hammering with truth. How do you like that? He cut them to the bone of reality. And see, that's what we need to do in the modern church today, is speak truth in love. It's not trying to hurt anybody. It's not trying to make you see with theology my way or eschatology about the end times. Not trying to force anything on anybody, but to bring forth truth and say, this is the way, walk in it. We may not agree on everything in theology and eschatology and the timing of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, and these different things, but we can be like the Bereans and we can study. But there's some absolutes that you and I can never waver from. You can't waver from the cross. You can't waver from the resurrection. You can't waver from the virgin birth. You can't waver from the resurrection. You can't waver from holiness and marriage between a man and a woman. You can't. You cannot separate those things. If you do, then you're into doctrines of devils, and we got a part. Is that right? And there's so many other foundational truths. All right, but here they were. They were speaking that truth. Verse 31, him hath God exalted with his what? Right hand. Okay, this is still highlighted in my Bible right here, because this is a powerful passage, because it is the gospel message. Hath God exalted with his right hand. Now, you know from past studies, the right hand means authority. always, anytime you see a right hand in the Bible, it means authority. Where's Jesus? On the right hand of God. He's been given all authority. Is that right? And we're seated with him. So we have participation in all authority with Jesus Christ. So he's preaching to them. He's reaching back to the patriarchs. He's reaching to the fathers. Now he's bringing into present understanding. This is the one whom you slew. You hung him on the cross. But God raised him up. Watch this. He has exalted him with his right hand to be a prince. To be a prince. That means chief leader. Write that down. Chief leader. Now this is really powerful because now Peter is, I mean, these guys were awesome. I love the transformation that Peter takes from being the stinky fisherman who cuts people's ears off. Come on, now, whether he was a bad shot and missed the neck and hit the ear, I don't know. But all I know, he hit the ear, right? He hit something. But he went from that kind of guy to a denier, to a cusser, to letting a woman expose him. Remember that? Said, your speech gives you away. And he was like, blank, blank, I don't even know who you're talking about. A woman exposed him and beat him down. From that to getting full of the Holy Ghost, now he's standing before all the people of Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, this council, and he is throwing truth out like bombs. I mean, he's hitting it, but he's doing it with supernatural intelligence because he began to have revelation and recall of everything Jesus said and taught. Remember, Jesus said that you would have that. Is that right? So the Spirit of truth does it, and I'll get into that in a minute, but watch this. He hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince. So what he was now telling him was, he says, not only was this the Son of God, but he was also the leader of Israel. He was the leader of Israel. Jesus could have led Israel, but it wasn't God's will for him to occupy an earthly kingdom or an earthly army. That was part of Judas's problem. That's why Judas got a hold of the zealot group, and he was zealous for things, and you know, he thought his kingdom would come through overthrow, and he didn't see it. How many of y'all remember that teaching? So here he is, Peter's just given this powerful discourse to these learned guys, man. He said, this is the prince, this is the chief leader, this is the leader of Israel. Man, I love that. That's powerful stuff. Watch. He's a prince and a savior. So not only is he the leader of Israel, he's not only the chief leader, he's also the deliverer. He's the one who can save the soul. He's the one that was promised as the Messiah. See, it seems like just small little verses, and we go over, and your preacher preaches or teaches or whatever, but you got to look at the total context of what Peter was saying. This was mind-blowing to the Sanhedrin. This was mind-blowing to the religious spirit of the hour. They couldn't handle this truth. They couldn't handle this guy, this Peter, and this ragamuffin gang standing with the popularity of the people. Now, remember I teach about imagination. Imagine this. He has used the people behind you as a scene behind. There they were supporting these guys, and they were laying it out to the Sanhedrins. It was amazing, amazing moment, okay? So watch this. For Savior, a Savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So he was not only the chief leader, he was also the Savior and deliverer who could offer forgiveness and accept it as well. I mean, he was a Gatling gun with truth. Just in these few verses, after he told them in verse 29, hey, we'd rather obey God than you. And then he opened up the guns, man, and there it goes. Truth came out. Truth, very powerful truth. That's the way the church should operate. Going back to the earlier statements, this is the way we should operate. We love our community. We love people. We love people in high places and politics and blah, 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 the whole nine yards. But we can't sit and allow deception to run rampant in the church. We can't allow people to lie and get away with it. We have to speak truth in love. Isn't that right? This is exactly what Peter was doing, okay? And we have to do it, especially to the religious people. So chief, remember that was, our prince was chief leader. It also means captain, leader of Israel and of the church. He was a deliverer, okay? He basically was what? All in all. Jesus was all in all right? The people were digging it. And I'm going to show that to you in just a few minutes. The people were literally loving this revolutionary type of message because this is the message of Jesus. I mean, they came for miles and miles and miles and miles and multitudes of people just to see Jesus teach and preach. He was a revolutionary against the religious system of the day. Man, it would have been awesome just to, you know, just to see him preach, just to get a glimpse of him preaching, man. Oh, that was powerful. All right, so check this out. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. All right, you said it. That means martyr. Martis is the actual word. I'll give it to you, 3144. You should have that tattooed already in your mind in this church. Martis. For a martyr, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. You know, the whole world. What does that mean? You're going to be a martyr. Okay? That's what it means. It means you die to yourself. You pick up the cross. And if necessary, you give up your life. That's what a martyr is. We don't hear that in the modern church today because that ain't cool. That truth is not convenient. They don't want to hear that. But you know what? Every day we should be losing a part of our life somehow. That's a true disciple anyways, but that's another teaching. All right, so we are his witnesses of these things. Check this out. We are witnesses of these things. Let me ask you a question, and I wrote this down in my notes. When does the truth become real to us? Watch this. It's not a trick question. It's a real honest, deep searching question. When does the truth become real to us? When we witness it. That was the answer I got. When we witness it. See, truth in formula and truth in fact and truth in speech, it's powerful as it's released, but it can only be powerful and real to you and me when we've witnessed it. Somebody who's never been healed before doesn't understand the healing power of God. And they would deny it sometimes. How many of y'all have family and friends that would deny it? But once you have that truth that by his stripes you are healed and you've been healed physically, you've witnessed it. And that truth is a reality that nobody, no doctor, no person can ever persuade you differently. Isn't that right? And it's there, okay? So he said, watch this. We are witnesses of these things. We are, yes, we are martyrs, we die to self, and we have that understanding that we could lay down our lives. But we've witnessed this thing. We have tasted it. We know these things are true. We know this truth is tangible. You see, the anointing is tangible. You can feel it when you're in this building. You can feel it during praise and worship. You can feel it during preaching. You can feel it when you leave the building. It's tangible, okay, because it's truth. It's something you can reach out to and grab hold of. We experience that and we witness it and we say to ourselves, this is reality. This is the truth, okay? Now watch this. Oh, I love this. Y'all having fun? Don't you love the Word of God? The Word of God is just awesome. I just watch this. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Which means that we can't truly experience truth without the Holy Ghost. Because he makes us witnesses, it bears witness with us that there's truth. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. This is not hard to get, but the church doesn't want truth because they have sin in their lives. The pastor has sin in their lives. The praise team has sin in their lives. People want to be sinful in their lives. They don't want to accept truth, become transparent, get clean by God, and stay clean, and allow his presence to flow through their lives, including the people's lives in the house, not just leadership. Do you see that? And the Holy Spirit will begin to bear witness with you and say, this is truth. And then he'll show you truth. And then healing will be in the house. And then prophetic words will be in the house. And then signs and wonders will be in the house. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is witnessing this is so. Oh, man. That's why signs and wonders and miracles follow those who preach truth. Come on now. Whether you're on a preaching jail ministry or your homeless ministry, whatever it may be, those watching tonight, truth verifies itself. It validates itself. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is there. So why not live in truth? Why not be truthful with your brother and sister? Why not be truthful with the Word of God? Why not be truthful with God himself and say, God, man, I messed up. As much cologne as I put on, I stink because my attitude stinks. You see what I'm saying? And God's like, well, I know that. I've been waiting on you, stinky poo, to get over here. I can just hold you and love you and wash you and scrub you a little bit. See, truth will scrub you, won't it? Truth will make, it'll make all of us clean. So where do we find all this? John 16:13. John 16:13. Let's go there real quick, just so we can look at it and see it together. It's to the left. Everything to the left, to the left. John 16. What verse did I tell you? 13. Somebody listens. Who was that? My wife. 23 years has paid off. Watch this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Who? The Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost. And here he is, Peter's preaching to the Sanhedrin, he's preaching to the crowd, and he's saying, listen, man, that truth of the Holy Spirit will bear witness, and it will show you these things. Wow. Powerful, huh? Powerful. You want greater anointing in your life personally? This isn't just for the guy up with the microphone and slick hair and shiny shoes. You just want more truth in your life and more power, more blessings. You have to get honest with God and his word. You have to be truthful. And that goes back to my teaching on transparency. One of the greatest examples of transparency, as you know, that I taught on is King David. One of the greatest besides Jesus, and that's for another time. All right, so the Spirit of truth also, you can go to John 15:26-27. I'm not going to go there, okay? So go back to that understanding. When does the truth become real to us? When we witness it. How can I witness it? I can only witness it by believing the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit guide me, okay? He's going to guide me into all truth. Well, where does the Spirit of truth take you to? Jesus. All right. So we are witnesses of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that do what? Obey him. That goes right back to transparency. It goes right back to being honest with God. It goes right back to saying, God, fix me. I am messed up. I got a screw loose. And y'all ever heard that from your mom or your dad? It's a fact. Or you'd hear something like that, you got a wire cross, boy. I'm like, I got more than one crossed. In fact, I couldn't put it back together if you made me. Come on now. I mean, it's all look like spaghetti up there. Y'all laughing at yourself because you know it's true. That's why when they called you spaghetti head, they were telling you the truth. Okay? So if I obey him, then, man, God begins to fix these things. He shows me things. So watch verse 33. This is powerful, and I gotta get done here. Verse 33. When they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now watch this word. D-I-A-P-R-I-O. Diaprio. D-I-A-P-R-I-O. Diaprio. 1282. Okay? Now watch this. It means to cut and sunder or to saw in two, but it also means to cut in half mentally. Mentally. Okay? It means to saw asunder or to cut through mentally. These guys, when that word, that gospel, that truth came out, remember I said in the beginning that truth is like a sword, it cuts through the bone of reality? That word just came and mentally, I mean, it put them in anger and malice. You can write that down. Anger and malice was actually the emotion that came out of these Sanhedrins. Now, man, I always say this, they're foaming at the mouth. I mean, they are at their wits' end. They were just slammed, not only in front of the people whom they supposedly, the people who supposedly supported these guys and kept them in power, but also the entire council, the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees. And I'll show you that in just a minute. This was a huge deal. This was like the entire nation of Israel or Jerusalem, the whole council there, the seat of power, the capital, all putting these guys on public trial. And Peter's just, boom, man, like a flamethrower, putting out truth. Okay? Powerful, powerful. But it says it cut them. Okay? It cut them to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. They were going to kill those guys right there. They were going to kill them for the truth. Okay, watch this. Verse 34. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee. You want to remember that for a moment. A Pharisee named Gamaliel. Some pronunciations are different. Gamaliel. Watch this. A doctor of the law. Had in reputation among all the people. I'll read it through, then I'll teach off it. And commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So here comes this guy. He stands up. He's a Pharisee. Okay, now why does that matter? Why did they put it in there? Well, it mattered for this. The whole council was made up of Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrins. The Pharisees were the minority, but the Pharisees had more favor among the people. Now, the apostles were preaching and teaching to the people, and the people were loving it. They were like, woo, man, this is awesome. And they were totally for the apostles. Do you remember before they were going to lay hands on them, and they did not because of the people? They were afraid. So God used the Pharisee. Now, watch the spirit of truth involved in this, okay? And I'll give you a statement in a minute. So the Pharisees were the minority, but they had the favor with the people. So the Sanhedrin knew that they could not slay these men without the power of the full council. They wouldn't have had the right to do it without the Pharisees. Does that make sense? Then you'd have an insurrection and an uprising from the people backing the Pharisees. See how God's wisdom? Listen, anytime you're in trouble, God always has a way out for you. Because truth is there. All right, so watch this. This is awesome. He had a reputation among the people. He was actually the most celebrated teacher in all of Israel. He was the most celebrated. He said among the reputation among the people. He was the most celebrated, okay? And commanded that they put the apostles forth a little space. So he says, man, set them aside for a minute because God is actually working in this man. Now, he became the overseer of the school of the Pharisees under Hillel, which actually when he passed away or stepped down, Gamaliel became that leader, and that was actually Paul's teacher. Isn't that powerful? God had a plan for that man, and he was using him right now, okay? So that's just a little information historically that has a lot of value into the story. Watch verse 35. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many obeyed him and were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, I think it was AD 6 is the actual time, drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. What is Gamaliel doing? He's actually speaking truth. It's historical, but it's truth. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is actually anointing this guy to speak sense into these guys that were going to kill the apostles. Listen, God will have people speak on your behalf that don't even know you. They may not even like you, but they're going to speak on your behalf. Why? Because of truth. So always stay on the side of truth. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this come, or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. So he used the examples of Thaddeus and Judas. He said, look, it didn't work. It wasn't truth. It was something else. It wasn't of God. So he's warning them. Verse 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found even to fight against God. There's the spirit of truth. There is this man who's a Pharisee, but he's anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring a defense for these guys. Watch this. Write this down. This is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, truth will become your advocate. Oh, man. Truth will become your advocate. Truth is my advocate. Go ahead and lie on me. At some point, I'll be justified. Let somebody lie on you. At some point, you're going to be justified. Because truth will always be your advocate. Who makes intercession for us? The truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? It's hard, though, when you're in the fires of affliction. It's hard when people are stomping your back and stomping your name in the ground. It's hard. But stand faithful, and truth will become your advocate. Okay? So that's what we learn out of this with Gamaliel. All right? It will always stand the test of time. Truth will always stand the test of time. So, watch verse 40. And to him they agreed, not to the apostles, but to this Pharisee, Gamaliel. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Now, let me give you a little historical fact. We don't know exactly the number of stripes, but the average amount was 39. It was 40 less one. It doesn't matter if they whacked him one time. Write this principle down. You will always take a beating for the truth. Yeah. Some of y'all have that tattooed somewhere on your back or your arm or something. Yeah, you will always take a beating for the truth. But you know what? The rewards are awesome. The rewards are beyond the beating. But again, we don't know. Historically, they say 39. That's pretty wild and pretty wicked. And it was actually against the law. They did no crime, but at least they didn't die. Okay? So no matter what we go through, we're going to take a beating for the truth, but at least we live. Somebody say amen to that. Now watch this. Verse 41, I'm closing. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Listen to that, rejoicing. That Greek word for rejoicing is not throwing a couple high fives. I mean, we're talking about celebration. They were just overjoyed because they were told by Jesus that they would go through the same things that he went through and they would be persecuted. And this is the first time they were literally beaten in the book of Acts. This is the first time they were taken rough, you know, in the jail, as I showed you before. But this is the time, first time they were actually beaten this way. And they were like, I mean, I don't know how to act. They were just pump fisting. Yeah, woohooing it. And yeah, Jesus said it was going to happen, man. This is awesome. That sounds a little weird. It really does. I mean, you know, when I don't know about you. I wrote this in my notes while I had actually thought about it. I said, man, could I have done that? Could I have let them do that, or would I have resisted? Would I have fought back? I don't know. In my mind today, I would have swung probably. I don't know what I would have done. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, yeah, I would have took 40 instead of 39. I don't know. But all I know is this, is these men were in the spirit of truth. They took the beating, and then they celebrated. You know what most Christians would have done? They would have called their lawyer. First thing they did, I was going to say some lawyer in this area, but they called and said, hey, I'm going to sue the Sanhedrin. Okay? They'd be like, wait a minute, Peter just called. All right, so they departed from her presence. They did all that, verse 42 again. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach in Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. So they took the beatings. They celebrated. They said, man, we're worthy. This is, wow, Jesus said it would happen. All these things are happening. The spirit of truth is upon us. And they didn't stop preaching. They went right back to the hornet's nest and preach the truth. You see, truth doesn't have fear. Truth doesn't have fear. Truth, it moves forward. It faces its adversaries because it knows it has an advocate with the Father. Man, good stuff. I pray that we live this out, man, that we walk like they did in truth, first in our inner parts, and then we speak it out, be truthful to our neighbors, to people that we love, and most of all, be truthful with God and ourselves. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for the apostles. Thank you for the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost that was there, the witness with them. God, I ask that that witness would be in this house so that people can see this is a true church. It's a true believers that love the truth, Father, and that truth would set them free. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you're transforming us. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys. I love